the shofar. Once again, Sunday night begins Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, or At-One-Ment, or Attunement. So we sound the alarm. This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local, and I'm dedicating this show, of course, to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who knew last week until the evening. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. From Deuteronomy. All the days of your life, you must pursue justice. Justice. Tzedek. From which comes the word tzedakah. Charity. Part of justice. Equalizing. She was all about equalizing. No handmaidens around there. None in our lives either. So, got some wonderful people coming in. I do want to send out some special healing wishes for Dan and Cheryl and Josh, Ben Friedrich, and Christina, and you, whoever you are, who's in need of healing. I think we all are. And a big happy birthday to Jilly. She's got a big one coming up, our blues woman, Jilly. And to Lulu, Nana Lulu in Brownsmead. And from a few days ago, Hope and Leonard Cohen. Hope shares a birthday with Leonard. So my first guest, I don't really know what she's going to do, but she's going to tell us. I have Julia Gingrich here. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
So Julia is the founder and main dancer with her companions in the Sparrow Dance Company. And I don't know, Julia, what's happening? You were going to be having a street show featuring musical theater tonight at the Column at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go for it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, part of live art is being risky, and so we're going to take our chances.
Well, that's really funny because the word I wrote down instead of risky was the F word, flexibility. Because I figured you can't possibly do this. So tell us, there are people who are not familiar with the Sparrow Dance Company. You did an outdoor performance. How long ago was that?
That was in late June.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a while. Okay. And same idea, Friday at 6 up at the Astoria Column. Saturday, that's tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the Garden of Surging Waves on 11th and Duane in Astoria. And then this time you're doing the third one the very next day on Sunday the 27th at 5 p.m. at the Columbia River Maritime Museum Plaza. That's what I saw last time, and it was absolutely delightful, with plenty of room for us to spread out in our masks and enjoy the dance and the music. So this time is going to be different, though. What are you doing this time?
Yeah, we got really great feedback, and so we decided, well, let's just do it again before winter hits. And we tossed around a couple ideas, and we chose a street show about musical theater numbers.
I love it.
Yeah, so we're doing some, we have four numbers. Musical theater numbers are often, you know, almost 5 minutes long a piece. So we're bringing four numbers, and we're bringing in some live guest singers.
Oh, nice. So are you keeping it kind of a secret, or are you willing to share with us, like, at least one or two of what you're going to be performing.
No, no, there's no secrets.
Oh, good. Tell us.
Our four numbers, we have Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from Oklahoma.
Okay. How many dancers are there, by the way?
There are three dancers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And will you be in costume?
We will be in costume similar to last time. We just will take one small thing off and put another small thing on.
Okay, so, good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning.
Yeah, then we have A Spoonful of Sugar from Mary Poppins.
Nice.
We have I Am a Pirate King from Pirates of Penzance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we close with Under the Sea from The Little Mermaid.
Okay, and I'm not familiar with, I mean, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. So it seems like the first two are really upbeat.
Yeah, yeah, we dive into more and more exuberance all the way to the end.
I see. And who choreographed the dance?
I mainly choreographed it. I always ask my dancers for opinions, or when I get stuck, I go, help, I need, and they always are pitch in. So I'm the main choreographer, but I always work as a collaborative effort.
Okay. So how are you making your decisions? I know dance is very important to you. So give us what it feels like, how you decide musical theater this time. You were doing animals. You gave us one animal piece last time for children.
Sure.
But it was good for everybody. So tell us, what's your process there?
Yeah, so what's my director brain, you're asking?
There you go.
Yeah. I look a lot at the current time. You know, what is the audience, what does the community need at that moment?
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
nope.
So, you know, our last show, everyone breathed a sigh of relief of just coming and having some joy,
mm-hmm.
some culture, and somewhere safe to be as a community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really wanted to do that again. We wanted to provide another gift that was affordable because we're free. And, you know, this is a free event. And really something that the whole family could come to.
Definitely.
And so that's partly why we keep it short, is so little Susie can go have her nap afterwards, or, you know. And and musical theater, a lot of people have either done musical theater or they've seen musical theater. So it's a little more accessible.
Mm.
And dance crosses the realm of musical theater. And I have a musical theater background, and a lot of my dancers do. So I just say, hey, let's take a whack at it and bring some more just fun, safe family opportunity.
It's interesting what you just said about musical theater being more accessible. Tell me what you mean.
Well,
as opposed to what?
Well, mainstream, I would say, like modern dance. Like our debut performance, Flight, is kind of a scary thing because modern dance is really new comparatively to ballet or theater. And so musical theater provides comedy. You know, you don't have to understand the depth of what were they trying to communicate in that modern dance, you know?
Good. Yeah.
You can just watch the piece and enjoy it. Maybe you know the song, maybe you don't. But the meaning of the musical theater number is either told to you through song or it's acted out in front of you. So it's it's less intellectual work. You can just go and enjoy and laugh or empathize with the characters.
Good. Okay. Good explanation. I really wasn't sure what you meant, so that does explain it. So who are the singers? Who are your dancers? And is this the same group of three from last time, or do you switch out, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it's the same three as the last street show, myself, Sarah Cohen, and Sarah Elder.
Okay.
And then our guest singers are the Estelle and Celeste Olivares, known as the Tango Twins.
Yeah. Okay.
And Julian Gingrich, who happens to be my husband.
Right.
And then right. we actually lost a singer 3 weeks ago, and one of our dancers, Sarah Cohen, jumped in and said, I'll sing it. I have a musical theater background. So,
phew, nice.
Yeah. So
see?
We were thrilled about that. And
okay, so I was right about the F word, flexibility.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And how long a Sparrow Dance Company? When did you found the group?
We are a year and a half old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2 years in operation, but we've had our nonprofit status for a year and a half.
Okay, well, good for you for keeping it going because it is challenging. So I told people tonight, 6 o'clock at the Column, tomorrow, 2 o'clock at the Garden of Surging Waves, which is such a lovely spot, and then on Sunday, 5 o'clock at the Maritime Museum Plaza.
Right.
Now, what happens if it starts to pour this evening?
Yeah, so if it's a downpour, then we just go, all right, we'll see you next Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have alternate dates, the same locations, the same times next week.
Okay. So do you suggest that people stick their finger out the window and say, hey, I can do this. Just put on an extra hat and a rain jacket and come on out?
Yeah, you know, it's whatever your comfort level is. I'm one of those Oregonians that a mist is the same as pretty much sunshine.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Yeah, so, you know, if it's a mist out, we're going for it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you're wearing sneakers or some kind of shoes so that you're able to negotiate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this sounds like a lot of fun. And will there be musical instruments as well, or some kind of in addition to the singing?
No, we're not battling the instruments at this point, but I do want to throw a shout out to KMUN, who has sponsored one of our sponsors, and so we have an awesome sound set up this time.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That is terrific, because that was a little tricky last time, but now with singers, although those your singers sound like they can probably, I don't know Sarah, but the others can belt it out, I'm sure. But it's better if you have a system. And hey, people are listening to KMUN right now. That's where we are. So I'm glad that KMUN was able to be part of this. So again, folks, this is the Sparrow Dance Company. What's your website?
It is sparrowdanceco.astoria.org.
Okay. sparrowdanceco.org.
Sparrow Dance
Co.
Astoria.org. Yes.
You know what? I'm going to write that down right now so I can say it again at the end. Okay, and good for you for having gotten your 501c3 status so people can bring some dollars in their pockets and toss them in.
Yes.
And keep the company going. Okay, Julia, have you had a company before?
No, I have not directed a company before. I have apprenticed as under the director position for a company. But this is my first time walking the director line.
Wow. Well, this is terrific. I'm just delighted that you're here and that you are persisting. She persists. And we get to benefit as a community. Okay, well, we'll make sure to mention it again later. And thank you so much for being with us and for doing this. And I never say break a leg to dancers. I don't know what expression. Is there an expression that one might use for dancers?
There is a French expression.
Ah.
Yes.
What's that? Do you know?
Which, if you know French, it is actually a bad word.
Oh.
Yes. But dancers say merde to each other.
Really? I do know French, and I do know what that means.
Yes.
How? That's very interesting.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Well, we can say it in French on the air. We can't say it in English, so
right.
That's okay. Okay, well, I'll wish you all merde.
Thank you.
Thanks. Julia Gingrich with the Sparrow Dance Company, Astoria.org. Okay. And folks, I have some music for you. It's very special. And I want to give you a little bit of a heads up on this. It's from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, called Notorious RBG in Song. Patrice Michaels wrote most of the music on this album. She put together The Long View, a portrait of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 9 songs. And then there are several other songs that were added, that were commissioned. Patrice Michaels happens to be married to James Ginsburg, who is Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Marty Ginsburg's son. And he is also a music producer in Chicago. So he produced the album. It's on the Cedi record label, also a French word, but it's a clean one, Cedille in Chicago. And the pianist is Kwang Hao Huang. And Patrice wrote, as usual, it's a day with many stops on her itinerary. But as always, only one focal point. When I say goodbye to her in the morning, she's headed to conference with her colleagues on the bench, discussing a dozen or so cases, some deeply consequential, most less profound. I can guess, based on past observation, that afterward she will have myriad documents to review, many to revise, interruptions to discuss the details of imminent trips hither and yon, on which she serves as a representative of the United States judicial system, and heaven knows what else, possibly presiding over a civil marriage ceremony for 2 of her former clerks, possibly a single-gender marriage, possibly presiding over a civil marriage ceremony for 2 opera divas. I arrive at the building by late afternoon and get through security in time to slip into a seat in the East Conference Room where she is receiving a humanitarian award. Today, those who wish to honor her happen to be from an organization that provides support to women and children in the Middle East. It's sheer delight to feel the electricity in the room, to hear the beautifully crafted explanation of the mission of this organization and its relationship to the work of the Honorable Justice. And afterwards, to see her milling amongst the dozens of other boobies, kindred sisters, mamas, grandmas. She seems to float buoyantly in the sea of tiny, elderly, smiling women just for a little while. Then she's back to chambers, answering scheduling questions again, returning a call, looking over another brief brought in by a law clerk who enters silently, smiling shyly, eyes for RBG only. She checks the points of concern, sends the clerk off with an additional issue to research, makes more corrections, finds the food brought back from the reception uninteresting, but a fresh cup of coffee welcome. Looks at yet another brief. Her son, the husband of Patrice, who's writing this, arrives to join me on the comfortable couch as most of the staff are taking leave for the evening. We 3 exchange a few moments of light chatter before the gravitational pull of her work resumes. Time passes. Mother, shall we go? Just let me look at this case for next week. It will be a challenge. Minutes of intense silence ensue, then an eruption of muttering, a flurry of writing, and once more an exchange with the last remaining assistant. All right, I think we can finish for now. But she lingers, tilts her head a bit as she scans her mental list and carefully chooses just a few more things for tonight to bring with her. And then her delicate hands return to the desk where she collects and methodically sharpens a sheaf of number 2 pencils. She places those rejuvenated pencils deliberately, somehow enthusiastically, on her desk. Takes a full breath, stretches her diminutive frame upright, wraps a silk scarf around her head, and collects her bag. Ready, considerate, laser-focused on doing the best I can every day. There will always be another important case coming up, one that will significantly affect individuals and groups of people. Justice Ginsburg may witness the ramifications of that next case within her lifetime, but perhaps only later will her contribution affect the discourse of a future court for a future society. She always keeps her pencils sharp. And the first piece of the nine, we won't have time for the nine, Justice William O. Douglas could imagine in 1943 that there might be a place for women clerks in Supreme Court chambers. But even years later, top of the law class, Ruth, was refused just such a position. She had three strikes against her, according to the prevailing sentiment. In addition to being female, she was Jewish and a mother. Embedded within this song is the American folk song theme, Pretty Little Girl with the Red Dress On, meant to represent Justice Douglas's sensibilities. Now let's hear.
Gratz versus Bollinger. Is the University of Michigan's affirmative action program constitutionally sound? Actions designed to burden groups, long denied full citizenship stature, are not sensibly ranked with measures taken to hasten the day when entrenched discrimination and its after effects have been extirpated. The stain of racial oppression is still visible in our society, and the determination to hasten its removal remains vital. Thank you. 2007, Ledbetter versus Goodyear. Is the individual statutorily entitled to sue for reparations for pay discrimination? The court does not comprehend or is indifferent to the insidious way in which women can be victims of pay discrimination. Title VII was meant to govern real-world employment practices. And that world is what the court ignores today. June 2013. Shelby County versus Holder, regarding the constitutionality of two provisions of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Voting discrimination still exists. No one doubts that. Throwing out preclearance when it has worked and is continuing to work is like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you are not getting wet. Hubris is a fit word for today's demolition of the VRA. June 2013, Fisher versus University of Texas. Is the university's affirmative action program constitutionally sound? I have said before and reiterate here that only an ostrich could regard the supposedly neutral alternatives as race unconscious. June 2014, Burwell versus Hobby Lobby Stores Incorporated. Can privately held corporations deny birth control insurance coverage to employees if the owners object on religious grounds? The exemption sought by Hobby Lobby and Conestoga would deny legions of women who do not hold their employers' beliefs access to contraceptive coverage. The court, I fear, has ventured into a minefield.
Yeah, that was some pretty powerful stuff. That was the Dissenter of the Universe, Five Opinions and a Comment. Let's see if we can get rid of that echo. I think we're going to be able to get rid of the echo. Oh, I know what it is. It's, you know, radio is an art form. And as Julia said, artists have to be risky. And as I said flexible. So there we go. Got that taken care of. You've been listening to, and we've got some more from Notorious RBG in Song. I got this a year or two ago. I heard them talking about it on NPR, and I wrote to the company and said, how can I get it to play on my radio station, our community, with a big C? And James Ginsburg, the owner of the company and the son of Justice Ginsburg, immediately wrote back and said, I'll pack it up for you and send it right off. And so I've been playing it a little bit at a time because it doesn't quite fit in the folk genre, which is my usual. But Dissent. Justice Ginsburg is renowned for her succinct and expressive writing. And the song we just heard highlights key portions of a few of her most influential dissenting opinions. The second one of them, actually, some of you probably recognize several, but especially the second one. Ledbetter versus Goodyear is the individual statutorily entitled to sue for reparations for pay discrimination. And these are all the cases that she was the dissenter. However, a few years later, she was there in the room when President Barack Obama signed the paper, and the case switched. Equal pay for equal work. It was the first bill signed into law by President Obama. And RBG says that she will continue to dissent when she feels the court has veered in the wrong direction. And that elsewhere she has said, dissents equal blueprints for the future, not despair. Yeah. And she also talked about preserving the integrity of the court. That's what we're dealing with right now. So, I have a human being on the line. My next guest is here. And she probably knows a lot about what we've been talking about. Denise Reed from the North Coast Chorale is here. And Denise is the conductor and director of the North Coast Chorale. The chorale's been around for a long time. Denise, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Good. Glad we got hold of you. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know how long ago the chorale was founded? Do you know
that? Yeah, this was supposed to be our 30th year anniversary.
Oh,
30 years ago.
Okay. And there was going to be a big anniversary celebration?
It was supposed to be a really big anniversary celebration.
Oh. However, here we are again with that flexibility and not being able to take certain risks. So things had to be switched around. However, have you been getting together with the North Coast Chorale, or how have people been? I know the motto of the chorale is we can't keep from singing. So what's been happening?
Well, first of all, I did tell people and the chorale that it's not going to look the same. So I have some members that wanted to come back and do some singing, and others that were not ready. So the chorale looks a bit different. It's around 15 of us instead of 35 who have been practicing this summer and are going to do a mini concert. And that mini concert will look different, too, because we have to be spaced way out. We have to have on masks. And our audience can't be jam-packed into one place, obviously.
Right.
So they have to be spread out, too. And so it's going to be outside concerts.
Okay, now you've got a scheduled concert for October 3rd, which is, I believe, a Saturday.
Right.
And at 1 p.m. in the Astor Street Opry Company parking lot, which
That's
is
right.
a lovely spot, hoping that the weather holds. Which,
that's the whole thing.
Yep.
In all our announcements, it is, if the weather allows.
Okay. And if the weather doesn't, will you be able to reschedule that?
Yes, we could reschedule it. I talked to Michael, who's in charge of the marketing and setup for the ASOC,
mm-hmm.
and we could schedule the following week. But I don't think things are going to get better the following week, but it mm-hmm. all depends, because it seems like it might be sunny that weekend, the last weekend possibly.
Well, let's think positively, because, you know, I've lived here for 46 years, and there was a time when September and October, we used to call it the Indian summer, it was the best time of the year here. And then things started switching around, and now it's sort of a grab bag, and we just hope for the best. So what have you been practicing? What's the plan? What kind of music?
Well, we've been practicing some music that we were working on for our anniversary. So it's going to be a kind of a hodgepodge of different things, things we were going to do for our 30 selections that people chose.
Nice.
And then we were going to do a performance of the Lux Aeterna by Lauritsen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going to have a big Christmas program, or holiday program, which is going to be put off till next June now. And that was going to be of a Magnificat that we, several Magnificats and other holiday pieces that we had done before with orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting that off until June,
mm-hmm.
but we will have one piece from a Bach Magnificat that we're going to do in this outdoor concert.
Oh, great. Okay. And what other kind of music? I read it was all over the map. Is that true? Pop,
yeah, it
jazz?
Is. Jazz stuff, you know, and all that jazz.
Oh.
Don't mean a thing. Some gospel numbers, because these were the things of the 30 for 30 where the members were asked to choose their favorite.
Nice.
And so that's what I'm pulling from.
So this
and
was
California
this,
Dreamin', go on.
Was it all music that had been sung before by the chorale? Is that the idea?
It was. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, how fun, but mixing mm-hmm. it all. But 30 pieces is over the year, not in one concert.
No, the 30 pieces were from 30 years. They were from people who had been there however long,
mm-hmm.
and they were just choosing pieces. But now we were going to do that this past spring. But we're taking some of the pieces from that 30 for 30. That's what, and we've got this short concert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not supposed to stay in a space too long singing. So our concert
right.
will not be the regular timing like we would have, like, you know,
right.
at 2 hours.
Right.
2.5 hours.
Well, I heard mm-hmm. Michael wrote me that in addition to people being right there in the parking lot, masked and socially distant, but also ASOC is going to broadcast on 88.3 in the vicinity, so people could sit in their cars, like across the street, and watch
right.
and watch your lips. Watch
well,
your
no,
lips.
They won't be able to watch our lips.
Oh.
We have some special shields on, so they we'll have shields on, or we'll have our singer's masks on.
What is
so
that?
They won't be able to watch our lips, but they will be able to listen, and hopefully, like I said, this is an experiment.
Right.
Hopefully,
right.
people will be able to hear the whole group, several of the parts together.
Okay, now, I have never heard this term, singer's masks.
Yes.
Is this something special or just regular masks?
No, it's a new it's new.
What is
and,
it?
These were designed by a Broadway group. It's a nonprofit group that designed it, and they get funds for artists who work on Broadway who could not have worked this year. They designed these.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's fabulous. So they're making them and selling them, and you pay for it, and the money goes to the artists who are out of work.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
That's a beautiful community circuit there. Excellent.
Right.
Okay, so if all goes well, Saturday, October 3rd, the sun is going to shine, or even if the sun doesn't shine, as Julia was saying, and I'm sure we're all on this, a little bit of mist isn't going to kill us. But if it's raining, obviously it will have to be delayed. Okay.
Right.
And the Astor Street parking lot, the Astor Street Opry Playhouse, is at 129 West Bond. So it's that, it's that street.
Right
near the Pig and Pancake and stuff like that. Okay. Right. Sounds good. So people, where have you been practicing then?
Oh, I can't tell you that. We've been practicing in private places.
Oh, okay.
So that
undisclosed.
Because of the fact that people have volunteered their spaces for outside.
Nice.
And I didn't want to put them anybody to know where to go. You see what
right.
I mean?
Right.
It was just a sectionals. And so, yeah.
Beautiful.
So, all over Astoria and Seaside.
I love it. So this is it. You know, I don't even have to ask you my question of what have you been doing in this closed time and how have you made it work? Because you're telling us exactly. And those people who don't feel ready to sing in a group have just taken a furlough for a while.
Right, right.
Okay.
And you know, you can understand that. And every time I send out an email is that if ever you don't feel safe,
right,
let me know or don't come. Or just let me know I don't feel safe in that environment or I don't feel safe doing this. And people have.
Yes.
You know, and I say it's okay.
Yes.
You're still part of the North Coast Chorale.
Beautiful.
And when things get comfortable for you,
mm-hmm.
come back.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. Now, Denise, we had an email exchange, and you were aware of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Did she have any effect on your life or influence or any of that sort?
Well, I don't know. I guess more than I thought, because when my daughter was going through school, I think I might have told her the same thing that Ruth's mother told her, which was, you know, okay, you got this degree. What can you do with it? Why don't you go to law school? Because you need to be independent. You don't need to have to think about, well, I have to have a husband to support me.
Yep.
You have to be able to support yourself. And so when she first went to law school, I said, well, that's the best thing. Go through there. I know you'll have a job. I feel confident that you'll go. And so maybe that was a connection that I really didn't realize. But
well, I'm really
all of the things that she did for women and men and their rights was important.
And and I'm really glad you mentioned that remark that her mother said, don't feel the need to be dependent. So don't try to get a man. Don't get saddled down with children. Of course, what happened was she went to Cornell, my alma mater, and the ratio was 4-1. And she even wrote a note somewhere saying parents, if they wanted to marry off their girls, they'd send them to Cornell because the ratio was 4-1. And I think I heard that on NPR or something. And I wrote back and said, excuse me, I went to Cornell 11 years later. The ratio was still 3-1. And I came out unscathed. And I think that in Ruth Bader's case, it wasn't a case of needing to find a guy. It was finding a soulmate And
the two
of them were just amazing team.
Yeah.
Amazing team. They just worked well together. A good model for not just for couples, for all people to be able to treat each other with respect and listen and then keep things moving ahead. So now you were in the middle of baking. Is this a true story when you heard about her passing?
Right. I was baking. I do that as a stress release for me. I like to bake.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it to relieve stress sometime. And yes, I was in the middle of making these. I had made these buns before, English batter buns. And so I just put on my recipe, remember, and changed it to English Bader buns.
I love it. I love it because, of course, she always wore her hair, either in a ponytail or a bun. And, yeah, I love it. I thought that was it's a good term. And, and yeah, I think that there are a lot of people out there, especially younger women and men, who had no idea how many issues she dealt with that changed our lives. You know, they've been saying women have credit cards. Excuse me? You wouldn't have had it. You wouldn't have been able to sign for a house or a car or anything else.
Definitely.
It's hard to believe. So when we think of this in our community, one person can make a huge difference. We all need to stand up and speak out and in whatever works for us. We just need to stretch a little bit and see how we can make the world a better place. So, well, you're definitely making it a better place.
I'm
keeping that corral going, even in the time of virus and smoke and all kinds of craziness. And so hopefully the concert will happen on October 3rd, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a week from tomorrow in the Astor Street Opry Company parking lot at 129 West Bond. And you can tune your radio to 88.3 in the vicinity. I guess it's a low power. And listen to the small but mighty North Coast Corral.
Okay.
Thanks so much for being here, Denise. Good talking
Thanks
to you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we're going to go to some music, I think. Let's see. What shall we listen to? Maybe let's hear some Wings of Peace. That'd be number one on that. Wings of Peace, Ufros Aleinu. And this is a piece that was, the music was composed by Rabbi Aryeh Hirschfield. And it's appropriate for these times and for any time.
Water.
Enfos Aleinu. Shalom. Sukkot. Mayim Chaim, the waters of life. Rabbi Aryeh Hirschfield of blessed memory. Hey folks, you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN, your radio station. And let me tell you, when we talk about flexibility and risk-taking, this is the place. I just want to be sure you know that we have an incredible staff. Small, talk about small and mighty, this is it. And they are doing a fabulous job keeping KMUN on the air with quality. And my undisclosed spot gets noisy sometimes, but Nevada's doing a fantastic job inside. Graham is keeping the whole ship running. Emily as well. Susan and Janet and Joanne and Kathleen. Go to the website, coastradio.org. Put a little money in the pot. We're trying to close up our pledge drive, our quiet pledge drive, and we need your help. So we have one more piece from the notorious RBG, and this is Anita's story and essential components of RBG's life described through Anita's eyes. The personal transformation and empowerment flamenco dancer turned typist Anita experiences thanks to the work of a little woman with a soft-spoken voice wearing a green dashiki. Listen carefully for the words. I think you will be absolutely delighted. Thanks, folks, for being with me.
I had been in New York only a very short time. I got a job in a law firm, typing in the steno pool. One morning, 100 pages of handwritten material from some lady lawyer and her method of delivery. Her own husband in his shirt sleeves. The way she used words I had never seen or heard. I had never even thought sexual, female, male,
gender-based discrimination.
I started typing. Spoken voice, wearing a green dashiki. She's not supposed to be like this. She's supposed to look like George Sand. Where's the cigar? The fluid repents.